Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 20th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the global death toll from COVID-19 tops 10,000.
As the virus spreads, communities across the country clamp down on activity.
In Europe, fatalities climb in Italy, where deaths now surpass those in China.
Financial markets take it all in stride as stocks gain around the world.
California's governor issues a statewide order for home isolation to avoid COVID-19. Plus, four people from a New Jersey family have died from the virus. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Saints coach Sean Payton and Marcus Smart of the Celtics have both tested positive for coronavirus. The Giants signed veteran quarterback Colt McCoy.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI, with an operating platform designed to support all major asset classes, diverse strategies, and investment vehicles. SEI is redefining wealth management. Learn more at seic.com/IMS.
U.S. futures and global stocks are gaining this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are gaining this morning, up 105 points. Dow futures up 913. NASDAQ futures up 355. The DAX in Germany is up 5.5%. CAC in Paris up 5.2%. FTSE 100 up 2.8%. 10-year Treasury up 30 32nds. Yield 1.04%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 6.2%, up $1.56 at $26.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is up about 2%. It's at $15.08.30 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, as the coronavirus outbreak spreads, communities across the country are clamping down on activity. We have Bloomberg team coverage on the fallout now, beginning in New York with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Cases of the virus in New York City are nearing 4,000, 26 deaths so far. Governor Andrew Cuomo is fending off calls for a shelter-in-place order, but says he will not shut down the city.
Let's just take a deep breath and make sure we're acting on facts as opposed to acting on fear.
Cuomo's ordering businesses to keep 75% of workers at home. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy expects cases to reach into the many thousands. He's ordered personal care businesses to close, including barbershops, hair and nail salons, and tattoo parlors. I'm Michael Barr in New York. Now here's Joan Doniger in our Bloomberg 1061 Boston newsroom.
Governor Charlie Baker is activating the Massachusetts National Guard as confirmed cases in the state top 300. He's also promising a big increase in testing for the virus.
Over the course of the next several days and weeks, there will be an enormous increase in the amount of testing that takes place on a daily basis.
The first high-capacity drive-through testing facility in Massachusetts is now open at a CVS parking lot in Shrewsbury. I'm Joan Doniger. Now, here's Martin DeCaro from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
73 D.C. firefighters, paramedics, and emergency medical technicians are reportedly self-quarantined after potential exposure to the virus. Metro Transit Police closed two rail stations last night to discourage crowds from heading to the tidal basin to view the cherry blossoms. The district reported 32 new patients, nearly doubling the prior total. Cases now number 72. I'm Martin DeCaro in Washington. Now here's Amy Morris in Germantown, Maryland.
Governor Larry Hogan signed emergency legislation opening previously closed medical facilities across the state, and he's banning social gatherings of more than 50 people.
I have just enacted an executive order to shut down all bars, restaurants, movie theaters, and gyms across the state.
The governor's emergency measure also offers job protections for workers affected by the outbreak, as both Maryland and D.C. have reported a spike in unemployment claims. Maryland added 22 cases yesterday. That brings the state's total infections to 108. I'm Amy Morris in Germantown, Maryland. Now here's Ed Baxter in California, where Governor Gavin Newsom is issuing a statewide shelter-in-place order.
Newsom says about 56%, about 25.5 million people will become infected. He says he's written to the president asking for help. Moreover, he says we have community-acquired transmission in 23 counties with an increase of 44 community-acquired infections in 24 hours. He says in some parts of the state, the case rate is doubling every 4 days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Meantime, in Europe, Italy remains the epicenter of the outbreak. Deaths there now number more than in China as the country remains in lockdown. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Alessandro Speciale in Rome.
The government is thinking of imposing even harsher restrictions, for example, just going out once per day for food shopping and all that, but it's not clear whether this will be enough to slow down the growth of the virus in some regions. The situation is particularly worrying in the north. There are reports of hospitals really at capacity, not enough intensive care units for all the people coming in with the virus. One thing that is not clear is why the death rate in Italy has been so high compared to China.
And infections in Italy have now eclipsed 40,000, deaths number more than 3,400.
Meantime, in the UK, cases of COVID-19 have jumped 25% in one day. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. As confirmed cases of coronavirus top 3,200, the UK's Prime Minister has warned he may need to tighten restrictions in the capital. Like the rest of the country, Londoners have been asked to limit social contact and work from home. Sources tell us the government is now considering ordering bars, restaurants and shops to close. The country's health secretary says the UK is still only at the beginning of the virus outbreak. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. In China, ground zero for the outbreak. We're seeing more signs the outbreak is slowing. Officials say today's 39 new cases all came from outside of the country. And here with details is Bloomberg's Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Second day in a row with no domestic infections. China is now imposing tighter restrictions on inbound travelers. In the meantime, Beijing exonerated the heroic doctor who was reprimanded for warning about the outbreak. Dr. Li Wenliang later died of the disease. The party rebuked the Wuhan police force and punished two officers. Elsewhere, Premier Li Keqiang says most of China is now considered low risk and people are now returning to normal work and life. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Worldwide deaths from the virus have surpassed 10,000, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The World Health Organization says the disease is now infecting people at a faster rate. Straight ahead, we bring you the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. At 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr to get a check of what else is happening worldwide. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. A fourth member of a Freehold, New Jersey family has died from COVID-19 within a week. Elizabeth Fusco, who lost her mother and three siblings, is beyond grief and says words cannot describe the pain and horror of what happened to her family.
It's like the second we start to grieve about one, the phone rings and there is another person gone, taken from us forever.
Two other relatives are in critical condition. California's governor has tested the stay-at-home orders and has issued it for 40 million people, in the most sweeping move of any state yet to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Governor Gavin Newsom says that unless the rise in cases of COVID-19 slows, it might overwhelm the state's medical system.
As a nation state, 40 million strong, we've been organized around an attack rate, as we refer to it, of about 56%, that the virus will impact about 56% of us. You do the math in the state of California, that's a particularly large number.
Newsom says people will be able to shop for food and seek medical care, but should practice social distancing. President Trump has told the FDA to see if it can expand the use of a decades-old malaria drug as an experimental treatment for coronavirus patients. The president says the drugs chloroquine and remdesivir have gotten federal approval. However, they haven't been approved for treating COVID-19.
This is by prescription. But states can issue it, and we have it approved by the FDA, and I think it's going to be something that will be very interesting to see. We're going to know very quickly, but we've had some very good tests, and it's been successful. So let's take a look. To me, that's probably the most important thing that anybody can say, if it works, but we have it approved for safety.
President Trump has canceled the G7 meeting at Camp David, scheduled for June, because of the coronavirus. In a White House statement, the president plans to hold the meeting via video conference with the G7 leaders instead. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the coronavirus continues to affect the sports world. More positive tests. Longtime Saints coach Sean Payton, Celtics starting guard Marcus Smart, and two members of the Lakers who have not been identified. Payton was seen at a horse racing track in Arkansas last weekend, surrounded by people, said he did not show respiratory symptoms. Smart said he feels fine. The Celtics played Utah March 6th. The Jazz, of course, have two players with it. And after it was learned the Nets have four, that's when the Lakers got tested. Their last game before the hiatus was against Brooklyn. As those in sports get quick tests and results, the controversy continues as to how and why when others have such trouble. And, of course, more positive tests make the games returning anytime soon seem more unlikely. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, in an interview on ESPN, said they can go later if need be. He's not sure how late. In other words, they can extend the season, which normally ends in early June. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver told ESPN that he doesn't have a clue as to what a return date will be. He said it will only come with the okay from public health officials. NFL news, the Rams released two veterans, running back Todd Gurley, linebacker Clay Matthews, veteran QB Joe Flacco, 1 year in Denver, now released. The Lions traded one of their top players, cornerback Darius Slay, to the Eagles, and the Giants have their backup, the starting QB Daniel Jones. It's Colt McCoy, who had been with Washington. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanchel. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And please join us tonight for Bloomberg's Business of Sports show. Will there be a Tokyo Olympics this summer? Has the coronavirus changed the way we watch sports forever? We'll be speaking with Rick Burton, Syracuse University's professor of sports management. You can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. S&P futures higher by about 4% now, up 95 points. Dow futures a gain of 859. NASDAQ futures hit limit up earlier. They're now higher by 355 points. The DAX in Germany up 5.6%. CAC in Paris higher by 5.5%. 10-year up 31 32nd. Yield 1.03%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The only adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and bonds are climbing globally alongside U.S. stock index futures, ending the week in a sea of green while the dollar halts an eight-day rally. As investors review the unprecedented measures to shield jobs and economies from the coronavirus, oil extending a rebound. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 93 points this morning. Dow futures up 840. NASDAQ futures up 354. The DAX in Germany is up 5.9%. CAC in Paris up 6.3%. The FTSE 100 up 3.25%. 10-year Treasury is up 1. The yield 1.03%. The yield on the 2-year 4.40%, that is. And the 30-year yield 1.62%. NYMEX crude oil is up 7.9%, up $1.99 at $27.21 a barrel. COMEX gold up 2.2%, up $32.30 at $15.10.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0781 against the dollar. British pound 1.1824. And the yen is at 109.91. The VIX 64.30. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
On Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we continue to watch the wild swings in markets that we've seen pretty much all week long, we're joined now by Marvin Lowe, global macro strategist at State Street. Good to talk with you this morning, Marvin. Saw that NASDAQ futures hit limit up once again overnight, and futures across the board poised for gains. What signs are you looking for that this could perhaps be a sustainable lift to markets, or is this just more of the same of the volatility we've seen with coronavirus?
You know, well, certainly, let's hope that we're starting to find a bottom. I'm not necessarily convinced that we're done with the volatility. Certainly, there's a lot of things that need to be worked out, both from the virus perspective as well as from a market healing perspective. But I've been keenly focused on funding. I've been keenly focused on the dollar, particularly the dollar strength, which to me is dollar hoarding in terms of people not feeling comfortable enough to actually take risk. And I think that's been one of the problems in this market. It's a little bit better today. Effectively, everyone launched bazookas this week from a central bank perspective, so it's nice to see some of it finally make its way in the market. But given the gains versus what was done over the past week and a half, it's just tepid at this point. So it's nice if we can end in the green at the end of the week, but really expect volatility to continue, I think, for at least a little while more. Let's hope it's just a little while more.
Yeah, certainly dollar strength has been eye-popping over the last eight sessions. We've had eight straight sessions of gains for the dollar. Now seeing some pullback in the greenback, is that supportive of equities? Is that something that can be sustained?
Yeah, ultimately, I think the pullback in the dollar is just a sign that there's a little bit more comfort with taking risk rather than just hoarding cash. A lot of the concern around that was just the unprecedented nature that businesses around the world are going to be impacted, and it's not just specific industry or companies. And trying to get a handle on that has really caused a lot of concern amongst the investment community at a time when we're all scattered around the world working from home in a manner that, I don't think anybody ever anticipated. So you've got a lot of things coming together. But, less dollar hoarding ultimately to me is a sign that we could at least take steps in trying to figure out where valuation should be.
Well, where are you thinking that risk might be most attractive? What sectors, what parts of the world at this point?
You know what? I think it's capital preservation at this point. If we're going to kind of look beyond the virus and how the world looks once we start to heal. Certainly I think lower interest rates are something that's here to stay. So, let's kind of keep that in our thesis. There's going to be a lot of monetization in debt. The yield curve itself has steepened a whole lot, but it's been steepening because of a drop in inflation protection in the TIPS market. Think about that if we have massive amounts of stimulus. I think that people pay for growth. So, it's hard to jump back into the concept of growth the way we had before, but, there are companies that have outgrown because they've got product lines that make sense in a slower growth world. And I think that that's kind of the type of thought process that we're going through in trying to pick through the carnage, if you will.
Now, we're certainly seeing quite a bit of yield steepening in U.S. Treasuries right now with the 30-year well above 1% once again. Where do you see bond yields going as central bank moves start to take hold?
You know what? I certainly think that they can go higher just because of the ceiling process, because of all of the stimulus that is going to come from the fiscal level. But I don't see them rising that much more. It's almost, we're going to get to a point, not necessarily soon, but you do get to a point where it's where it starts to be detrimental for the economy. It winds up being detrimental for companies. Remember when we were concerned that yields were going to rise too much. You're going to find this balance. I think it's higher than here, but not a whole lot higher than here.
In our last minute here, Marvin, where do you see fiscal stimulus going at this point? We've heard a lot of talk about, $1.3 trillion number, where the fiscal stimulus could be targeted in terms of, checks being written for individual taxpayers. What moves would you like to see that would give the market some comfort?
I'd like to see it's more for me that we're getting the right type of action coming out of the politicians, the right type of action coming out of Washington. Certainly we've come an incredible way in just seeing the two parties come together. If it makes sense, I think that's what the market wants. The unprecedented nature of both what's going to happen to companies and the regular American needs them for them to take strong action. So the amounts are frightening to think about, but the amounts ultimately are necessary, I think.
Thanks, Marvin. Good talking with you this morning. Hope you have a good weekend. Marvin Lowe is global macro strategist at State Street, joining us this morning. A morning with green on the screen, with S&P futures higher now by 102 points, Dow futures up 890. NASDAQ futures are higher by 355 points after hitting a limit up in the overnight hours. The DAX in Germany up 5.6%, CAC in Paris higher by 5.9%. 10-year up 30 seconds, 1.04% is the yield on a 10-year note. 2-year Treasury, 0.41%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are climbing as the dollar weakens sharply. That ends an eight-day rally for the greenback and leaves investors wondering if we finally reached a bottom. Nancy Tengler is Chief Investment Officer at Leffer Tengler.
We're seeing good companies behave better than the overall market. In the beginning of the downturn, everything sold off, and now our stocks are starting to outperform. And that's usually a sign that we're at least getting close to a bottom.
And right now, S&P futures are up 3.8%. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 is up 4.33%, and bond yields are falling with the yield on the 10-year Treasury at 1.04%.
Well, the Senate is preparing another round of stimulus. The latest plan includes $1,200 tax rebates for individuals making less than $100,000 a year. As the coronavirus spreads, President Trump is being asked if the measure is enough.
If we can stop it in its tracks, the virus, it's plenty. If we can't, we'll have to go back and talk.
Do you support the idea of the government taking an equity stake in certain companies?
I do. I really do.
And President Trump says the government could take stakes in firms that get bailouts. Right now, the plan under consideration provides $208 billion of loans for companies suffering from the pandemic, including $58 billion for the airline sector.
Worldwide deaths from the virus have now surpassed 10,000. That's according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The World Health Organization says the disease is infecting people at a faster rate than before. Cases in the U.S. currently number more than 12,000 with 220 deaths.
Well, meantime, in Europe, Italy remains the epicenter of their outbreak. Deaths now number more in Italy than in China as the country remains in lockdown. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Alessandro Speciale in Rome.
The situation is particularly worrying in the north. There are reports of hospitals really at capacity, not enough intensive care units for all the people coming in with the virus. One thing that is not clear is why the death rate in Italy has been so high compared to China.
Infections of Italy have now eclipsed 40,000 and deaths number more than 3,400.
And again, S&P futures up 93 points this morning, Dow futures up 838, and NASDAQ futures up 355. The DAX in Germany is up 5.5%, 10-year Treasury up 31/32, the yield 1.03%, and NYMEX crude oil up 7.9%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:33 is the time now on Wall Street, and it's time to bring in Michael Barr to get a check of what else is going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The coronavirus has taken a heavy toll on a New Jersey family. A fourth member of the Fusco family has died within a week. Elizabeth Fusco lost her mother and three siblings. She says her world began to crash down on her Tuesday morning.
I woke up Tuesday morning, the baby of 11. My mom called me and said, Lizzie, I don't feel good. Rita don't feel good. Tony don't feel good. Can you come help us?
In New Jersey, there are close to 320 COVID-19 cases. The tens of thousands of transit workers who help get New Yorkers around are calling for greater protection, with at least 23 MTA workers testing positive for COVID-19 so far. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the MTA will continue running. However, this train worker is suggesting that Cuomo is playing Russian roulette with their lives.
The risk is if he runs these trains without any members of the train crews being checked for the coronavirus, he's going to have no service.
In New York City, cases of coronavirus have hit 4,000 with 26 deaths. The Metropolitan Opera is canceling the rest of its season and stopping the pay of the orchestra, chorus, and other unionized employees at the end of the month due to the virus. California Governor Gavin Newsom ordered that all of the state's 40 million residents go into home isolation starting last evening, marking the most stringent U.S. effort yet to stymie the spread of the coronavirus. During a news conference, Newsom said, "This is a moment where we need some straight talk.
This is not a permanent state. This is a moment in time. And we will meet this moment together. And we will look back at these kinds of decisions as pivotal decisions."
The shelter-in-place order allows people in California to leave their homes for needed items like groceries and medicine. A $1 trillion-plus bill has been introduced in the Senate to get Americans direct aid. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The plan is for bipartisan talks today. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says no middleman.
Direct financial help for Americans. Senate Republicans want to put cash in the hands of the American people.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer welcomes that, but says the bill also needs to include aid for hospitals. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Michael, thank you. It's just before 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the list of NBA players who've tested positive the coronavirus continues to grow. Started with Rudy Gobert, then his Utah teammate Donovan Mitchell, Christian Wood of the Pistons, Kevin Durant, three Brooklyn teammates, and now add Marcus Smart of the Celtics.
What's up, everyone? So I just found out I tested positive for the coronavirus. I'm okay. I feel fine. I don't feel any of the symptoms. But I can't stress enough practicing social distancing and really, you know, keeping yourself away from a large group of people. And just really washing your hands and help protect yourself and help protect others by protecting yourself. Thank you.
Two Lakers have tested positive. Their identity is not known. So has longtime Saints coach Sean Payton. That's the first from the NFL whose teams have been signing free agents, and they want language put in the contracts protecting them if the player gets a positive test. Physicals in many cases are not going to take place for months due to the virus. Tom Brady's contract with Tampa Bay won't be signed until his physical. He said he'd be trying to set one up in New York. Cam Newton expected to be released soon by Carolina. He hardly played last season with an injured shoulder. Will teams want him if they can't have a doctor take a look at him? The Giants have what appears to be an ideal backup to starting quarterback Daniel Jones. Colt McCoy, 9-year veteran, the last five in Washington. Giants also signed Nate Ebner, 8 years with the Patriots playing special teams. New Giants coach Joe Judge coached him in New England. Todd Gurley wants to start running back with the Rams. They released him. Joe Flacco wants a Super Bowl winning QB in Baltimore. 1 year in Denver. He's been released. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the entire issue devoted to the coronavirus, including the benefits of social distancing. Justin Fox contributed to this special edition of Bloomberg Business Week.
If people aren't as squeezed as close together in the office, then there's a little bit less risk. I mean, it's not like I'm doing some heroic thing, but it does reduce everybody's risk a tiny bit.
Read more about this and other stories in this coronavirus edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can get a complimentary subscription at MAG Go and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at youtube.com. Just search Bloomberg Global News. 5:38 on Wall Street, it's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. New Jersey Transit is seeking $1.25 billion of federal aid to make up for a plunge in fare revenue in the wake of the new coronavirus. According to a letter sent by the agency to the state's congressional delegation, ridership has dropped 88% since March 9th. Rents in February again reached all-time highs across New York City, according to the Street Easy Market Report. Brooklyn saw the biggest year-over-year increase of all the boroughs, up 5.5%. Brooklyn's rent growth was led by North Brooklyn, home to neighborhoods including Williamsburg and Greenpoint, where rents rose 6.7%. Amazon.com is bidding on four stores owned by bankrupt grocer Fairway Group. Sources tell the Post they're located in New York and New Jersey, including one in Brooklyn. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
This is Joan Doniger telling KTRH listeners in Houston about oil's wild ride higher.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Walmart is slated to begin its coronavirus testing in the Chicago area in conjunction with Walgreens and health officials.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Blue Apron confirming suspicions it has seen a sharp rise in meal kit demand in recent weeks.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Volvo has started to close plants in the U.S. and Europe.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And some other stories we're following. Hertz Global Holdings, Avis Budget, and Enterprise are asking the Treasury Department to include their industry in plans to rescue travel companies. The car rental firms also want temporary relief from the rent and the minimum revenue sharing they pay to airports. Nikki Haley, President Trump's former ambassador to the United Nations, is leaving Boeing's board after less than a year. Haley opposes the plane maker's decision to seek a bailout and is exiting just as Boeing begins a contentious fight on Capitol Hill over its push for $60 billion in aid. S&P futures higher by 90 points. Dow futures up 815. NASDAQ futures higher by 355 points. This is Bloomberg. The Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your Tri-State area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and bonds are climbing globally alongside U.S. stock index futures, while the dollar halts an eight-day rally as investors review the unprecedented measures to shield jobs and economies from the coronavirus. Oil is extending a rebound. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up 97 points. Dow futures up 843. NASDAQ futures up 355. The DAX in Germany is up 5.4%. CAC in Paris up 6.1%. FTSE 100 up 3.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1. The yield 1.03%. The yield on the 2-year 0.41%. NYMEX crude oil up 7.7%, up $1.95 to $27.17 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 2.1%, up $31.50 at $15.10.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0730 against the dollar. British pound 1.1757, and the yen is at 110.19. The VIX is at 64.62. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, California imposed a statewide coronavirus stay-in-place order, though people can buy groceries and medicine. The governor estimated 56% of the state's population will get infected. Meanwhile, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will run out of medical supplies in 2 to 3 weeks. Four senators sold stock after receiving briefings in late January about the virus. According to Financial Records, Intelligence Panel Chairman Richard Burr sold between $628,000 and $1.72 million on February 13th in 33 transactions. Two other panel members, Dianne Feinstein and James Inhofe, also sold stock after the briefings. Kelly Loeffler began dumping 27 stocks on January 24th, the day the health committee she sits on held a meeting. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton told ESPN that he learned yesterday he has tested positive for the coronavirus. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on QuickTake by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, and you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Let's get ready for this Friday morning. Kriti Gupta is back with us, markets reporter on our Bloomberg Markets Live team. Kriti, once again, we are seeing some wild swings in this market. The European stocks are poised for their biggest gain in years. Futures on Wall Street, at least the NASDAQ futures, hit limit up overnight. Is this just more of the same volatility, or could we have hit bottom here?
Well, I think it's going to be a little early to call the bottom here. I think what's important to keep in mind is, yes, I'm looking at S&P futures right now, 3.9% higher on the day. Like you said, NASDAQ futures hitting limit up. What's crucial to note, though, is last night we ended the day in the green by just 0.5%. That's on the S&P index. So just be careful there, because that seems like, oh, well, everything's back to normal. Volatility is back down, but not quite. We're not quite there yet, because it's only been one day. We need a sustained kind of calm in the markets to really say that, okay, well, the bottom's in, things are returning back to normal. Something else I really want to point out super quickly is that today's quadruple witching day. So you're actually going to be seeing extreme volume today, in addition to the already extreme volume that we've been seeing for the past few weeks. Now, keep in mind that the volume over the past 4 weeks since the kind of virus took over all headlines, you saw that that volume was higher than any quadruple witching day. So that coinciding with a quadruple witching day, I'm saying quadruple witching quite a lot, but it's important, means that today could actually mean some very important and very volatile, very hectic trading day. And that could also be why you're seeing futures open. I mean, the most liquid times will be right at the open and right at the close.
Yeah, so today might not be the day to call bottom, at least at this point. But what indicators going forward are you going to be looking at to see whether this rally is sustainable?
Sure. Volatility is still key, and liquidity is still key. Until we start hearing just kind of from people trading who were really kind of changing money from hands, they're the ones who are really saying that, you know, the market makers aren't able to really have much control here on the price action. It's just more selling, and, you know, they have their hands tied. So what you really want to hear right now is, okay, well, liquidity is still in there. We can go into the market and we can buy kind of the value trades. We can go in as a long-term investor. We don't have to worry about those short-term moves. A big kind of easy index to watch is the VIX index. We just need volatility to really come back down. I believe we hit 83 recently on the VIX. That is way too high. Even in the 20s is way too high. You need that to really come down.
And in terms of liquidity back in the market, we're finally starting to see a pullback in the dollar. Is that something that can be supportive of equities longer term, or is that a sign that investors might be concerned about the risk of a long-term recession going forward?
Well, the dollar is an interesting story right now, because we actually saw the dollar kind of function as a haven trade. And like it, we talked about this yesterday, Nathan, but the haven trade is kind of switching between asset class to asset class. It started in kind of the defensives and stocks, then switched to treasuries, of course, then gold, and now the dollar, because people are really hoarding dollars now to when somehow hop into the treasury market when they need to. A big part of that, though, and this is the reason you might be seeing a pullback in the Bloomberg Dollar Index, is because of what the Fed announced yesterday. They're announcing dollar swap lines with other central banks as well. So you're not seeing this kind of hoarding of dollars need anymore that we saw in the past few days. And that could actually just mean more of a short-term kind of security for the dollar market and dollar funding as opposed to a bottom in the stock market.
In our last minute here, Kriti, I know you've been watching the oil market in terms of a recessionary indicator. We're starting to see more of a surge in crude price this morning. At the same time, Russian President Vladimir Putin is making it sound like he's not willing to blink when it comes to the price war with Saudi Arabia.
That's right. It doesn't look like we're kind of thawing anything on that front. But I will, something to note, though, and something that actually could be moving the prices up, is the fact that Texas actually came out yesterday and said that they're willing to cut their production by 10%. And what really is important to note here, not just the production numbers, because that's still on the table, but we were waiting for that kind of policy response from the president when it comes to oil markets. And we didn't really see that. This changes the game with Texas coming out and saying that, because it means that OPEC is no longer solely in control. This is no longer a story between Saudi Arabia and Russia alone and all the other Middle Eastern producers. We're actually bringing the United States into the fold, and that could actually be a very positive, not just for the oil market in the short term, but just kind of stability in the long term.
Yeah, Creedy Gupta, always good talking with you. Thanks for the update. You can get more from Creedy and the rest of our Bloomberg Markets Live team. Just type MLIV Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
All right, thank you, Nathan. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Discussions are underway between the Federal Communications Commission and Congress over funding to support remote learning and telehealth services through the coronavirus crisis. Rideshare drivers are calling on Uber, Lyft, and operators of similar services to create an assistance fund to help drivers whose incomes have dried up. And the Ninth Circuit ruled that Zumiez and other California retailers that require workers to call in and be available on short notice must be paid, even if the workers don't have to report.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal development we're watching includes the Justice Department postponing all immigration court hearings for immigrants not being held in detention. The DOJ has so far closed 69 court locations across the country, including in Los Angeles and Houston. For more on the move, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with immigration law expert Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight.
Leon, these closures come after repeated calls from immigration judges. Was there panic at the immigration courts?
Well, yes, June. The problem is at all of these locations, whether it's an immigration court or whether it's an ICE detention facility or whether it's at a USCIS appointment location, a field office, you have hundreds of people packed into a room like a sardine, both going through security. There's a long security line, going in crammed elevators, waiting in crammed hearing rooms and courtrooms. And so if you were going to say, well, what is the equivalent of a cruise ship in the United States, you would be talking about any of these offices.
What happens to the immigrants who are in custody, in detention right now?
Well, this is a very important question, and I actually have a case of my own that's in this regard, where I'm basically making the argument in a habeas petition that you have people who you know you can't deport because no countries are letting people in. And so if you can't deport someone, the entire purpose of immigration custody is to retain some individual inside your custody so that you can then execute the deportation order. But if you can't execute the deportation order, it becomes rather cruel to keep them in a detention facility where they're much more likely, again, just like in a cruise ship scenario, to contract the coronavirus for no reason, because you know you're not going to be able to execute the removal order. And so for that reason, I think you're going to see a lot more of these habeas petitions filed unless ICE takes the affirmative action of releasing everybody from its detention facilities that are not sort of the most hardened of hardened criminals.
And that's Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Again, futures on the rise this morning. S&P futures up 105. Dow futures up 901 and NASDAQ futures up 355. 10-year Treasury up 28.32, yield 1.04%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.